Take off your jacket, because it's time to get deep under the covers with a loose read.
Morena, Jenna.
Morena, how are you?
You want to put those headphones on?
Wearing my headphones? It's like, where is that sound coming from?
How are you?
I'm great. I'm very good.
Oh my God. Some really, really exciting stuff happening for you at the moment.
Yeah. If you didn't know already, I've me and my husband, lovely husband Stu, we've bought Time Out Bookstore. I've been at Time Out since 2010, and it was just the time. The baton has been handed over, so I'm the fourth female owner of Time Out. So it started in 1988 by this wonderful woman, Susie Lees, who we still know really well. She started the shop when she was 24. It was a books and music store. Mm-hmm. And then Joy owned it for a while. Wendy, my former employer, now employee, is owned it for 23 years and 8 months. That was her retirement job after being a teacher. Last year I was like, okay, Wendy, I'm ready. And then so we've been planning behind the scenes for a long time, and now it's all out in the public, which is cool.
So exciting.
So ultimately the business plan is continuity. We've got the same staff, same hours, everything's just the same. Mm-hmm. And continuing to just keep the jewel of Mount Eden what it is for the community.
Cool. And Wendy's still really involved, you said?
Oh, so she's her official role is bookkeeper and gift card buyer, so she's working 2 days a week.
Awesome.
Nice. Seeing out the rest of her, the next phase of this style of retirement she's in.
Cool. Oh, congratulations, Ehoa. So excited
thank you.
For you.
Yeah, it means a lot. It's really exciting. It sort of feels the same, but also feels different. And
so special. Really, really cool. And we've got a beautiful booker to talk about today.
Yeah, so this is a brand new book. It actually comes out tomorrow. And this is called Banjara by Shana Chandra. This is by the team at Moore Press, who are part of Hachette. And they're the team behind Sarai De Silva's book Armour, which came out a few years ago. And it captures the tale of an indentured Indian woman, Ivani, who leaves Rajasthan for Fiji in 1888. And her great, it also tells the story of her great granddaughter Mira living in Auckland, New Zealand. Mm-hmm. So the parallel storylines follow a pregnant Ivani. Much of her time in this book is on the boat journey to Fiji. And her Banjara nomadic caste is mixed with other women. So it's really about this group of women who are all alone on this boat ride, supporting each other and looking after each other. They're not knowing what's going to be at the end when they arrive. So this is a story of the Indo-Fijian Gurmitia history, and it's told 7 years apart. So Gurmitia is the Gurmits are the people that were taken from India and put on boats and sent off and worked in slave trades in different parts around the world. So that captures the Fijian. They were in this contract. It's a Hindi take. The Gurmitia is a Hindi take on the word agreement. And the workers were bonded to a 5-year contract, but often they couldn't go back to India afterwards because of their financial situation or what had happened. So we have this great story. I really loved the story set in the past. It was really evocative and you could just really sense the scariness and also the senses of being on a boat and being really sick and trying to clutch onto one's culture. And then we have Mira travelling from Auckland to Melbourne to India in her part of the story on a story of a discovery of whakapapa, essentially. Both women have this long sense of longing for a man in the story, Ivani, for Agora, a foreigner who's who put her on the boat. And Mira is navigating this long-term relationship with a man who can never fully commit because he's got an arranged marriage to come. And there's a lot of connection to the earth and the landscape, goddesses, clothing, and the traditional dance of Odissi, which is a traditional Indian dance. Can I read a little bit from the book to try and get that kind of feeling of the environment that she writes about? This is set in, this part's in India. The morning was fresh with the winter air, and a high lighter pink sun shone through the wisps of smog. Slender men with shawls brought warm cups of chai in clay cups, while others brushed their teeth on the street, taking in the morning bustle as they did so. I loved how here ablutions weren't performed in private, how everyone did their living out on the street. That is what India was like, as if its skin had been peeled off, so you saw all of its inner workings, bike spokes fixed on the side of the road, flatbread dropped in hot oil, sacks of rice balanced on the tops of heads or transported in wagons. You knew how everything was fixed, how everything arrived, how everything was made.
Wow.
You can like hear everything.
That metaphor of like the skin peeling off as a place.
Isn't it beautiful?
Yeah.
Super descriptive.
Yeah. So it feels incredibly close to the author. It's really visceral, insular. Both parts of the story are told in first person. And I was just like, yes, they are told in first person. And it's really special to have an Indo-Fijian story told in this way. We haven't had much of this, so I think...
Yeah, I was just thinking that, yeah.
This book will mean a lot to a lot of people. It'll be like... it'll feel familiar, I think. And even like with me, like being Pākehā Māori New Zealander, I really understood and connected to the tale of whakapapa, finding your whakapapa, like that great grandmother. You know, I always think of if your ancestors weren't here, you wouldn't be here. And especially at those times where it's life is so can be so disposable. The fact that you've survived based off that is like magic and fateful, you know. So I thought that was it was a really special, beautiful story. I found it quite like, even though there's hard things that happen in the books, feels quite calm and considered and thoughtful. I feel like this is a book that the author has thought about for a long time. So she's also going to be speaking at the Auckland Writers Festival in a free session upstairs at the Altea Centre. There's this kōrero corner and they're doing a debut of the day. So Banjara will be a debut of the day on Sunday the 17th of May from 2 to 2:30 p.m. So I would recommend nestling around that part of the festival to hear Shana speak.
Sounds really special. It sounds like a really beautiful book that's going to resonate with a lot of people, as you say.
And look at the beautiful cover. Yeah, it's really cool.
Cover.
Yeah. It's really great.
Very cool. You've requested some Geneva AM, which is always a welcome request, obviously. But this one, Tipuna Rako, like, yeah, it really resonates with that story of whakapapa and trying to, like, find your way back to that in an urban context, eh?
Totally. The lyrics in Tipuna Rako, I feel like, you know, it's saying about, like, where the seed of where you're from and you wouldn't be here without your tipuna, and that always, you're carrying them on your shoulders, essentially, and you're moving forward with them. And so I believe that this book really reminded me of that song, and I love that cross-cultural connection. I thought it was really, really great song to fit this book.
Atahua. He kākano mātou o ngā tipuna rāko is like, who comes up with that?
I know, it's beautiful. And it's a really great grammar lesson as well. Yeah,
that's the one. We've already had a grammar lesson earlier this morning, actually. So it's good. Beautiful. For anyone who didn't catch that, translates to, like, we're all the seed from our ancestral trees.
Yeah.
So true.
Hello? Gorgeous. Hey, thank you so much, Jenna. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Owner of Time Out Bookstore.
Come see us.
Yeah.
Get on down.
We'll
there,
be celebrating.
Everyone.
This one that we're talking about is out tomorrow, did you say?
Yeah, it'll be on the shelf tomorrow.
Wonderful.
Awesome.
A sneak peek, if you will. Yes. Talking about Banjara from Shana Chandra.
Thanks, Jenna.
Thank you.
Ka kite.
Ka kite.
that was Loose Reads.